This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yes, they have been. We just got through with Coach Vince Dooley, the legendary Vince Dooley, and he's excited about the game. I think everybody we've had on this week is excited about seeing what's going to play out on Saturday. A little bit later on in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to the voice of the SEC. Brad Nessler is going to join us. We'll also talk to David Pollack, who's going to join us as well. So we'll get their opinions on this game. Mike, has anything changed for you, by the way? You know, we always start this conversation at the beginning of the week, and then maybe sometimes you think about some things. I'm not come off of anything that I believe is going to happen in this game. I think Georgia dominates this game.
I think that Bryce Young is going to make some plays. I think there'll be some moments where Georgia fans will get a little tight sphincter for a minute because it still is Alabama. But I do think that it's going to be a lot like, you know, we've talked about the different guys have referred to it as a slow bleed, the way that Georgia takes out their opponents. But it'll be really interesting to see how aggressive we are, looking at what Texas A&M did, looking at what Auburn did, and the ability to pressure the quarterback without having to pressure your secondary by getting there with your regular crew. That's going to be exciting to watch, man. This week, I don't know about you, brother, it is dragging. I cannot wait to be there Saturday. Looking forward to just talking to my my cousin Marty from Savannah. He's like all stoked. So we're going to have a big crew going to the game. It's going to be awesome. By the way, we're down at Hudson Grill. I know that we're going to have all regular college football crew doing their thing, but we're going to be down there on Marietta Street as you are looking for somewhere to maybe have a cold one before you head over to a Mercedes-Benz on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because the guys from college football game day or game time is going to be there. And, of course, they'll be bringing you all the latest with getting you ready for the game. So it's going to be fun, man. It always is fun. And it's always better when Georgia's in this game. I mean, it just is. You know, last time I was there, they got beat down by LSU, and it was just destined for LSU to go on to win the national championship. Most people felt that season. I think a lot of people feel that this year with Georgia. And so that's why you feel so good and going into this game. This is not a game where Georgia fans should be scared. This is not a game where you go in going, man, your team is good. This team is really good, and this is not by fluke and some imaginary thing that's happened this year. They've earned everything they've earned on the field, and I think the biggest question has been answered. And that's one of the things we asked Aaron Murray yesterday, former Georgia quarterback, was about Stetson Bennett. He said, dude, Stetson's proved it. I got more respect for this guy than anybody.
Right. It just seems, again, had this been in Alabama from a year ago or 2 years ago, you'd say, wow, they might really be able to pressure Stetson and create some turnovers. And it just – it's funny because you don't want to say it until the game's been played, because Alabama fans are sitting there, as we said, arms crossed. Yeah, you got to prove it. We've got the edge on you guys, and if it is a tight game, the mental edge goes to Bama because our players have beaten Georgia all these years. Okay, whatever. But it just, you know, the deficiencies are there. Coach Dooley talked about it. It's not the Alabama. And again, it's not a knock on Saban. That they'll be right back up, and they'll continue to drive. Again, a bad year for Alabama is one loss, right?
It is. Yeah, people are freaking out. Oh, I can't believe one loss is a bad year.
But it's just Georgia, but that's what Kirby was brought. I mean, it's not like this just happened like, you know, by sheer dumb blind luck. This has been the buildup, the resources. You and I spent time on this yesterday. All the money, all the things that Kirby's got, from the Kirby copter to that big old, what do we call it yesterday? The dog Mahal, you know, They got all the stuff now. I mean, they got all the facilities. Nobody can, other schools are coming to look at what Georgia is. Oklahoma was at Athens earlier. They should have looked what they were doing. So that's now the culmination. It has to be a natty. It has to be.
Hudson Grill, by the way, downtown for a championship Saturday edition of College Football Game Time. So it starts at noon, and obviously Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, John Chucker getting you ready for the SEC championship game. That's what Mike was alluding to. That's where they will be. And our championship Saturday coverage is brought to you by Racetrack Chattanooga Whiskey and Dog Nation. Let's talk some dogs.
Brooks and Bell on the Sidelines with the Dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, spelled B-R-I-T-E, BrightBoxElectrical.com. You always wanted those outdoor TVs or that sports bar vibe for Christmas? Well, hey, man, talk to Santa. Well, actually, no, just go to BrightBoxElectrical.com and get it done today.
Hey, before we talk about strategy and what we think more about this game, let's talk about what's going on elsewhere, and that's Notre Dame, Mike. It sounds like, it looks like this is happening. Everybody's reporting it, credible reporters and people who are in the know when it comes to Notre Dame about Marcus Freeman. It's a guy's name you brought up earlier in the week saying what's going to happen. The initial thought was he was trying, or he wasn't, but Brian Kelly was trying to take him to LSU with him to be his DC. Right. And it looks like he's going to be the next coach for the Irish. Now, I like this move because if you think you have a guy that's a head coach in-house, and then you allow him to leave and potentially go somewhere else, that's just dumb. He's 35 years old. I don't care about age. I always say if you're ready for a job, you're ready for it. I'm not an age discrimination kind of dude. Oh, he's too young and all of that crap. He has accomplished some things. He's not as accomplished as others. But, Mike, I think if he's been there and he fits what you're doing, you keep him.
Well, that's just it. I mean, the some Notre Dame fans would say, well, wow, we did this with Bob Davie. He was a defensive coordinator for Lou Holtz. Bob Davie had zero charisma. Can we just call it what it is? Bob Davie just doesn't have that charisma. This guy, now, I don't know Notre Dame recruiting inside and out, but everything I've read says this guy is a huge part of the recruiting classes that Brian Kelly's put together. He's a guy that everybody is talking about as a next head coach. He's a guy that, you know, they just said, this guy's going to be that guy. So now he's getting the chance. And it's great. You got an African-American coach at Notre Dame. They've done it before with Ty Willingham. Unfortunately, the Notre Dame thing, man, remember, after Lou Holtz, Bob Davie, George O'Leary for a minute, then of course they had to go in another direction. Notre Dame got in this weird stage in the 2000s where they would hire a coach, he'd win three or four games, they'd immediately give him a contract extension. Remember Charlie Weiss?
Yeah.
They did the same thing. And then Brian Kelly brought the stability, passes Newt Rockne, he's the all-time winningest coach, and now you got a guy who just seems to have some of his formula. I think it's a great hire, and it's something we've been talking about as far as high-profile African-American head coaches in college. So good for Marcus Freeman. Now, let's see if Oklahoma State against Baylor, and then this guy might be coaching in a semifinal game.
It's crazy. It really is.
The players are going to rally to it. Wes Durham was on with us yesterday. He was saying that Jack Swarbrick was trying to play both sides of the fence in case he wanted to entice Luke Fickell to come up from Cincinnati, and that's why he didn't want to overcommit to Freeman. So maybe he got something from Fickell or read something in the tea leaves that says Fickell ain't coming.
Yeah. I mean, basically, this leaves Oklahoma the only – not the only job, but when you talk about Power Five and real chances at winning a national championship, the other job now that may be open or left open, if Freeman is, in fact, going to be the guy. Again, no confirmed solid report, but everybody's saying this is going to happen. So right. This is probably a situation where they're working out the contract as we speak, and, Mike, they'll make the official announcement. But, yeah, and here's the thing. Notre Dame's going to be fine, right? I mean, whether it's Freeman or somebody else, I mean, it's Notre Dame, Mike. We always talk about it. They're going to be fine. The deal is, though, in this day and age, you don't want to set yourself back. And hiring the wrong guy can do that. And I think Marcus Freeman, who apparently is a great recruiter, is the way to go.
Well, I also think that you look at, now again, he's on the defensive side, but you look at how Bob Stoops handpicked Lincoln Riley. Remember at the time, we're like, oh, is this really going to, and it worked perfectly, you know?
Yeah.
And this was a guy that you said that, you know, Kelly wanted to take down to Baton Rouge with him because he's such a big recruiter. So it's good. It looks like that if they, according to CBS Sports, our website says that they're going to retain Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, did you see him talking to the kids about this?
Yeah.
He went in front of the Notre Dame kids. You know, they had like a big meeting, and he was like, this is where my heart's at, and I think we can win a national championship here, and I don't want to go anywhere. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. And the kids are like, yeah. So everybody's happy about that because they think he's doing a great job too.
The Wolf of South Bend, right? Like Leo DiCaprio. Hey, real quick, just because we're doing the Bulldog Report and talking football, I just want to give an honorable mention. I was flipping around TV last night. I was watching the Hawks. Want to give a shout out to Georgia beating Memphis last night at Stegman. How cool was that?
It's a big win, man. Penny Hardaway is building a heck of a program at Memphis. Early in the season, and I'm not saying Georgia's not good, that's a good win, and that may help them to get to the tournament potentially if it plays out that way. But yeah, man, Memphis is going to be a team that we'll be talking about. Penny Hardaway's done a great job of recruiting. He's got a great staff. That's one of those early games, Mike, in the season where you just don't know which way it might go, and Georgia was at home. That's a good win. You're absolutely right.
Okendo goes for 24. Look, we're just looking for some signs and something you can hang your hat on for Georgia. They were 3-5 now on the season, but it's kind of cool just to watch and see them hanging and then go on to win the game. That was cool.
Hey, the College Football Playoff Board, they failed to agree to expand. Now, the staff members, they had a meeting, and they were supposed to announce, you know, this jaw-dropping news, should I say, about potential expansion. We know it's going to happen. Just because it's not happening now doesn't mean it's not going to happen, Mike. I still think we're going to get there. You just said Coach Dooley said he was for it. You would think a lot of the older school guys might not be for it, but they realize the benefit of it. And here's the other thing. Like, if you're Georgia, let's just use Georgia. Do you care if there's an expansion? You're in this thing every year anyway.
Yeah, you're pretty much dialed in. And the fact that, as it usually has been, that the SEC championship was always kind of like a quarterfinal, right?
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, you're locked in. I mean, everything's in place for Georgia moving forward. Yeah, I mean, because everything, like Lincoln Riley, USC, eventually Oregon might get things going. But all the usual suspects, I'm still waiting to see what Oklahoma will be when their new hire that you just mentioned. You know, the ACC, it's really so top heavy right now. So, yeah, you're still in a great spot. The big story this year has been the emergence of Harbaugh's Michigan. Better late than never, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But everybody else, it's teams that if they didn't make the tournament, nobody would care. Like Oklahoma State and Cincinnati.
That's kind of where I'm at. So they didn't have enough votes, basically, and this doesn't mean anything. But if the playoff is going to expand in time for the 2024 season, which is what everybody believes, Big Bill Hancock, we haven't had Bill on in a while, he's the executive director of the College Football Playoff, he said that the decision needs to be made by January. So even though they didn't vote yeah now, it doesn't mean that they won't by the time this thing rolls around in January. And as long as they do, we will have expansion come 2024.
Hey, man, some breaking news from the NFL. Ian Rappaport's got it. Adam Schefter's got it as well. But a couple of players, Antonio Brown, Mike Edwards, and John Franklin III.
Not Antonio Brown, Mike.
Yes, because, again, if past performance is anyway indicative of where this guy's head is at, the fake COVID vaccination card may have something to do with that. Antonio Brown suspended without pay for the next 3 games. The Players Association repped the players during a review of this these recent allegations. I'm reading the joint statement from the NFL. And again, health and safety, you know, the idea that you would fake a COVID card, which is just so asinine, but he did it and he's going to pay the price.
3 games, no pay, right? That's paid?
No pay.
Yeah. Nice, Antonio Brown. For everybody who said, oh, there's more to the story. Okay, so the NFL investigated, in essence, is what you're telling me, and now they've suspended 3 players for violating the COVID protocols.
Antonio Brown was determined to have misrepresented his vaccination status under the NFL COVID protocols. A follow-up tweet from Ian Rappaport, the review supported those allegations. They violated the protocols. In other words, they went and paid for some forged document.
What a clown, man.
Yeah. Seriously. I mean, I get it. If you don't want to get the shot, don't get the shot. But don't fake it and say you got the shot.
That's right. Because there are protocols in place for you to still play and say right. You didn't take the shot. I mean, give me a break. So he's a fraud. That's fraudulent.
Right.
And he should pay the price. So, all right, that news coming down as we speak. Matt Ryan, by the way, the Matt Ryan report on the way in the 5 o'clock hour. You will hear what Matt Ryan has to say about the Buccaneers as they get ready for that matchup on Sunday. And also Brad Nessler, the voice of the SEC, is part of our strong arm story of the day also in the 5 o'clock hour. Hey, when we come back, it was a big win last night, man. But why is nobody talking about what this guy's doing? Find out who we're talking about next.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Southern.
Done last night. They will take on those pesky 76ers tomorrow. But, you know, I'm looking at the game last night and watching how things are playing out. And, yes, it was a close game, and we found a way to win ultimately. But, Mike, Trae Young is once again off to a really good start. And it's one of those deals where I'm not looking for anybody to you know, give him his respect. We know Trae put on a show in the playoffs. He's on the map. But it was his fifth straight scoring game of 30-plus points, his NBA-leading fifth game with 30-plus and 10 assists this season. So he had 33 and 10 last night for a double-double. He had 8 rebounds and 2 steals to go along with that, and we won on top of that. So I just think it's one of those things. If you think, hey, the Hawks are off to a slow start, I wish they would be. Trae's doing his thing, man. He's doing his thing.
Yeah, Mike Conte had the numbers today, and I'll find it retweeted on the Twitter, but basically showing that anyone who thought that he was, and I think Mike used the phrase, a foul merchant, right, Carl? That, you know, just looking for contact and jumping into people like a kung fu artist like Harden. And you look at it, his foul calls have gone down every year, and now a precipitous drop in him getting to the stripe this year because the NBA has mandated he's the number one culprit, which is asinine. But regardless, he is still averaging 30 points without all the free throws, which shows you that's a misnomer. But again, thanks to his old head coach, who decided to be fun to get on a conference call and say, yeah, man, he's jive with that stuff, amongst other contributing factors that the NBA thought they were going to cut down on this, it's not affecting Trey. And Trey passing Larry Bird as far as, what, 200-some-odd games to get to a 30 points and 10 assist games, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Curry is off to a great start. There's no doubt. And he's balling out. The Suns are balling out. You could give Chris Paul his love and respect as well. But Trey's doing his thing as well. And I just think, you know, we're one of those teams, Mike, where we got more national games this year. We know that. We're going to get more exposure. We're playing on Christmas. But those are the games where I'd like to see Trey show out, right? I'd like to see us win and him have a great game where you continue to build that buzz, because that's what was missing last year. We didn't get on the national scope until the playoffs. Now, this year, we've got a chance with a bunch of these national games to do that, and Trey and company being out there for everybody else to check out.
Yeah, man, it was a really cool game last night. I watched it this morning. I can't lie to you, Carl. I was tripping the light fantastic last night, and I just didn't get a chance to watch it in real time.
It happens, man.
Hey, man, by the way, I went to Palmer's down in Peachtree City, and you'd be very proud of me. I had salmon last night. It was very healthy, but like
I did too. How ironic. Now, we cooked at home, but I did too. I had salmon last night. Yeah. What was your side, by the way?
It was Brussels sprouts.
Oh, very nice.
That's as healthy. And by the way, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's as healthy as I get. But no, I mean, the thing last night was Trey had made all those baskets, and then unfortunately he started missing shots. He just wasn't dropping late, and they were really digging him up, and they were all over Trey. If you saw in the last 6 or 7 minutes, but to me, one of the crucial moments, we talked about it earlier. 24-second clock is ticking down, and Clint Capella goes with a hook from 13 feet, and it drops right at the buzzer. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, remnants of what, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right. Well, just to see him drift away from the, I mean, let's be honest, he's not exactly like a high percentage, but his shooting has gotten so much better. He had some big plays on both ends. John Collins had some huge blocks last night. There were big momentum shifts. And then I want to make sure I get the guy's name right. We'll just call him TLC, but he also had a big three-pointer later last night for the Hawks, too.
Yeah, Herter came on with 19. Collins big defensively, 4 blocks. So it's just an all-around good game, man. And with the missing pieces, that's the other part about this story that, you know, we're leaving out. Obviously, last night, no Bogey, no Cam Reddish. We already know who else we're without. You know, no Okongwu, no DeAndre Hunter. We know those things. So this is what the task is right now. We'll see what happens tomorrow night against the Knicks. But I just want to give Trey his love, man. He's playing well. 33-10 last night for another double-double. And quiet is kept. He's just doing his thing. You know, this is who he has become. And I don't know if people realize it or not, but the expectation is this. Like, when Trey doesn't do this, you go, well, he had a bad night. That's a good expectation, Mike.
Right. I know that we've been kind of monitoring where this team is going to be without having all the components. And, you know, you and I, how many times, isn't it funny how we bang on this, like, this narrative? Well, we're going to see our man DeAndre Hunter, and we're going to see Cam Reddish on the floor, and then it goes out the window. But the good news is they got a lot of depth. Nate wasn't on the floor last night because he was out with the COVID protocols. But I just thought, and again, it's a regular season game with the Pacers, but there was a lot of, you know, back and forth and some big shots and big moments. And you talked about it. The end of the game, foul, no foul, just a bad shot. It was funny listening to Nick. That's a terrible shot. and some people thought that Herter got a piece of court, but no, it was just a very entertaining game last night.
If you're just joining us, first and foremost, thank you. Secondly, find us, guys, on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We've been talking a lot today because it's official and it affects our Braves that there is a lockout. And we're going to talk a lot of college football in the 5 o'clock hour, Mike, with Ness and David Pollock, who's going to stop by. But just to rehash this, if you're just joining the show, this is the owner's attempt, okay, according to Rob Manfred, to jumpstart the conversation. The problem is they had a chance to do that yesterday, Mike, and how long did the meetings last? 7 minutes?
50 minutes for the first meeting, 7 minutes for the second meeting. And, you know, we've talked about this. Players' union is coming with a lot of proposals, and ownership wants nothing. Ownership basically wants to keep the status quo. That's all they want.
Yep.
You know, they're looking at moving incrementally up the luxury, which only affects so many smaller, you know, only a small amount of the teams out there. So you're going to have a lockout, and we'll see where this is going to go. I know that now nothing's going to happen with Freddie, guys. Now that's an impossibility. So Freddie was going to have to happen before midnight, and so now we're going to have to wait until spring. And by the way, how does that work? And how does that play in Freddie's camp? Well, they have to stew over this, or they just anticipated this?
Well, I think they anticipated it, but that's why I was nervous about getting it done. When you saw a lot of the other deals around MLB get done with certain players, didn't you go, well, why can't they do this with Freddie? right? You knew this was going to happen. And just go into this thing, hey, we have a lockout, but we got our guy locked up. We're good. We'll deal with the other stuff after this gets done, whenever that may be. It could be early spring. It could be January. Or it could be the middle of the season. We don't know. So that was what was concerning to me, Mike, is you knew this. You knew this was coming, and you weren't able to get the deal done. So now, yeah, they just – you got to sit back because here's the thing. Nobody else can offer Freddie either, okay? So it's not like some other team can go behind our back. All that stuff stops right now. So you don't have to worry about the Dodgers or the Yankees or anybody else coming in the back door and trying to talk to Freddie. You can't do it. That's what the lockout is.
So now we move on and we get the – and by the way, the tweets are already starting. I always love the folks on social media, Carl, who always root for the owners. You know, it's like
– how?
Movie, well, like remember the movie The Natural? These are the guys that are rooting for that evil owner who sat in the dark. Remember Roy Hobbs? Mr. Hobbs, I enjoy the dark because he likes a cigar. So here's what we talked about. One of our listeners hit us up and said Forbes says the Orioles are valued at $1.4 million but spent $23 million on payroll.
Jeez.
That's a pretty good margin for the owner. And then a couple of guys basically called us financially illiterate because an estimated value has nothing to do with annual operating revenues. And then I came back and I said, you know, and they're, now they're calling us idiots because that's what people like this do. I said, well, why does the small market Tampa Bay Rays succeed and you go down to I-95 and the Marlins can't? Why do the Rays make it work and the Orioles in Baltimore with a much better stadium and they can't make it work? Because the guys who own the Orioles are the Angelos family, the most worst, vicious, blood-sucking humanoids in Major League Baseball. I mean, there's got to be some correlation from owners who are willing to reinvest, or at least the bare minimum, Carl, prime the pump, as opposed to just sucking it dry, which is what the Orioles have been doing the last 10 years.
They have, absolutely. And here's the other part. If you do what we've done, if you do what the Astros did, you do it, the Marlins did it back in the late 90s, early 2000s. When you rebuild and then you win, okay, your payroll goes up. You have to spend money. If you don't do that and you remain mediocre and you don't spend money and there's no ceiling floor, the minimum amount for you to spend, and you're making money hand over foot, why would you spend more than you had to? So that's the other part of this. You know, it's like, wait a minute. So there's some valid things on both sides. Listen, it's not all going to get resolved. Everybody's not going to get what they want. But there is a common ground here for baseball to say, hey, we're not going to screw our game up. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not screwing it up. I know it sounds bad and it sucks because we're the champs and all that. There are no games. Let this thing roll around in the spring, Mike, and games not be played. And all of a sudden, it will change completely. And that's when you start to get the feedback from fans because people start to see it every day, every night. My Braves are not on. What's going on?
Well, again, I just love this. This happens every year we get into this. This happened when we were discussing the 60-game season where management basically said, well, let's do the bare minimum ownership did, and we'll just make up the lost revenue through TV playoff money, which is kind of what they did. And, you know, it just you get into these conversations, as you said, on Twitter. I'm not going to waste too much time with this, but, I mean, there's stuff that goes beyond the laws of business, okay, or the or whatever you learned in business or econ or whatever. There's got to be, Carl, some correlation between the quality of the product, right, with profit. And when the owner refuses to improve the quality, what do you expect it to be? That's when you get – now, again, small market and the Pirates, that's why I said there's got to be a salary cap with a salary floor. Salary cap allows you to compete, but you still got to bring it to a minimum. And if you don't, you've got to sell the team. We'll get somebody in there who can. But that's – to me, that's pretty simple economics. I don't know what makes me an idiot to feel that's the way the thing should run.
You're not. We'll see where it goes. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, we're going to talk plenty of college football. The voice of the SEC, Brad Nessler, is going to stop by at the 5 o'clock hour. You're also going to hear from Matt Ryan as part of our Falcon Report and David Pollack to discuss the SEC championship game. What do we got coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
Got a couple of things for you. A really funny wedding story from down in Florida. It's not really a Florida couple. These are nice, normal people. But what happens when the bride just, well, she tries to lose so much weight, Carl, and she's really dehydrated to squeeze into that wedding dress? Let's just say when it came time for the vows and we were discussing in sickness and in health, well, the sickness came. I'll explain. It's all on the way. Dukes and Bell, man. Falcon Report coming up at 5.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah! Yes! Yeah, man. Brought to you by Hey Man Ale, Oconee Brewing. They got the beer coming out every 3 weeks. Go to your local package store. They ain't got it. Ask for it. Same thing at your local watering hole, man. Just say, get that Hey Man on tap, man. Hey, you get your Christmas tree yet?
Yeah, it's been up right before Thanksgiving, yeah.
Nice, man. Yeah, Becky's actually trimming the tree right now. Tree went up a day ago. I got the lights going, and actually I found one of those old-fashioned like analog timers. Remember those things when you were a
sure,
kid?
Sure.
Plug those in? That was like the big... My dad always made that seem like it was so complicated. I got to be honest with you, it's not that hard.
No, it's not. We got timers on them as well, so they can turn off, stay up late, or go off late. And yeah, it's great though, man. What color lights? You going white lights? What are you doing?
I got white lights. Although yeah. We do, it's pretty cool. I program where I can do the Florida State colors and Becky's pit, so we go blue and gold and maroon and gold, if you will. So it's kind of neat. Hey, Christmas trees price are going up. You may have already, maybe you already got your tree, so you're okay. But an article in the LA Times says supply chain issues with Christmas trees?
Oh, man. I mean, you can't just go out and cut one down? Come on.
Remember we joked around with Dave Archer. We'll talk to him later in the week. Archer used to go up in Idaho, and his mom would say, that one, and they'd go up like 1,000 feet up into a ridge and go bring it down. But it's a double whammy. Weather and supply chain problems apparently are hampering the industry. Says, and this is a nice business card to have. Says Jamie Warner, Executive Director of the American Christmas Tree Association. He says...
What do you do?
Well, let me... That card folds out. Growers have been hard hit by floods, fires, smoke, drought, and extreme weather conditions in different parts of the world, including the Pacific Northwest. So it's affecting, I guess, maybe West Coast more than our part of the world.
Yeah, everything is being affected, though, Mike. I mean, seriously. And I know, depending on what you're doing for the holidays with gifts and all that kind of stuff, If you're not on it now, I mean, it may not be here. You may not get it. So I know the supply chains is a real deal. I know that.
Now, there was, speaking of a supply chain, this is one that I'm sure that our buddies at Oconee will not pass any kind of inflation on to the...
No, never. We would never. No.
Rising cost of aluminum cans, according to the New York Daily News, and bottles is starting to squeeze the little guy, the craft breweries around the country, forcing some prices to go up. Apparently, one of the biggest suppliers of aluminum cans and other recyclable beverage containers telling clients it plans to hike prices. So eventually, at some point, that will get passed on to you, the consumer, or in this case, the beer drinker. Which, again, it really sucks for the little guy. That's why I think it's cool Oconee kind of took over their canning operation. We got a good deal.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, listen, did you collect aluminum cans when you were a kid?
Dude, now this is something that I sometimes talk about this on the air. I've been here, 23 years, and I brought this up. I used to work with guys. They looked at me like I had three heads. Beer can collection was a staple for teenagers in Long Island. Was that anything? Did you do that in Texas? Or no
beer can collection. No, I did. I did do the aluminum cans though at one time. Trying to pick up some extra change and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I never did the beer can thing.
We used to, and the old man would go on business trips, which usually meant having to go get a suspect and bring him back. But for Pittsburgh, the Iron City had the Steelers on the can. I thought that was the coolest thing. So like, we went up to Montreal for a Ranger game, and then I got like Labatt. So I had three shelves of beer bottle and can collection, and you're always looking for the most exotic bottle or can. It's something we did. If anybody else ever did that, hit me up on Twitter so I don't feel like a bigger mutant, but maybe lends to why I drink the way I do. But it was just part of my childhood. A woman down in Florida was not drinking. She maintains it was simple dehydration, but her name is Holly Lynn Calenda Darnell. She's got a lot of hyphens because her husband is from Australia and he's hyphenated too. But they met in New York And she's actually from Michigan originally. We just got married down in Florida. This has gone viral. It's been getting zillions and zillions of hits on TikTok. The blushing bride went to the barfing bride, Carl, in a matter of seconds. The clip, which is pretty chaotic, it looks like something from a movie comedy, has had over 3.7 million views. This, and she's a very, very, very lovely blonde lady who's getting married. She's seen gripping her groom. And then she's signaling to him that she's fallen ill. She's like kind of pointing at herself like she's going to puke. And just as the pastor begins officiating the ceremony, it's an outdoor gazebo. They got a lot of guests. And all of a sudden, she literally falls limp into her fiance's arms. And he goes, "Are you okay?" And then all of a sudden, bleh! And she says no. And then whammy, and there you go. And then the camera ultimately pans away. And she, but you can hear it like literally. And it sounds like something from a Monty Python movie, Carl. And there's like 100-pound woman. Bleh, bleh, bleh. It's just endless. I mean, you're like, how can a woman that small barf that much?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, here's where it gets worse. First off, she explains, and then a subsequent video that was also placed on TikTok, she says she was super dehydrated. She hadn't drank or ate anything all day. She has went on to reveal that, yeah, women try to squeeze into the wedding dress and all that.
For sure.
And she'd also been diagnosed with low blood pressure, so a rut-row. So after I passed out, here's where it gets worse. Her sister had a fan, like a little handheld fan for her little baby. She's got a nephew. So she comes over with the baby in one arm and the fan in the other. And so up here on this little gazebo, they turn into an altar where the woman has just passed out. She starts fanning her. And then the nephew starts pooping and the poop goes down her arm and onto her dress.
Oh, wow. It just gets worse.
Chris, that's like a triple whammy, isn't it? It's like every excretory function right there.
Oh, Mike, you lost me in this edition of our shenanigans that the price of aluminum beer cans is going up. Listen, I'll pay more for a gallon of gas. I'll pay more for a gallon of milk. When you start raising the price of beer cans, baby, I got an issue.
Time to take to the streets, Carl. This civil war is taking up on the price of beer. This will not stand.
I won't have it.
Yeah. Anyway, you can look at it. I'm not on TikTok, but it's a pretty funny story. They're a likable couple. They went and she had time to get the dress cleaned, and they did their honeymoon up in New York City. They got a really nice picture on the Brooklyn Bridge. So apparently, yes, the long answer to a short question, the stains did come out.
Oh.
I've told you the story before. I've got an old roommate of mine from college, Jamie, and we had a big bachelor party in Vegas, and it kind of was like the movie. The Hangover. We had to get back to the wedding. The wedding, Carl, was in Orange County. And he puked on the altar, too. And they wrote their own, like, stupid vows. You know when people write their own vows?
Yeah.
And he couldn't remember them. And then he's like, and my buddy Jamie is from, he's from Falmouth, which is outside of Montego Bay. And he's doing the vows. Like, and if ever I, and then, so he just pukes all over, and I had to pull on the best man. And to this day, the wife won't talk to me.
Oh, she thinks it's your fault.
My fault. And I was I was the voice of reason on this trip. We were at the club in Las Vegas. I was the father of the bride came along because he was such a cool guy, and he was getting a lap dance at the club. I couldn't get anybody out of there, man.
It's time to go. We got to go.
I'm the bad guy on this one. And by the way, I've given up. A few guys have asked me to be best man. I've been best man at four weddings.
Yeah.
And all four marriages. Divorce. Okay, I am the kiss of death.
I was going to say, maybe you're not a good luck piece. Maybe.
No. Now, good news, bad news. I will throw one hell of a bachelor party for you in Las Vegas or South Beach, but ultimately it's not going to end up well. All right, man, let's hit the closing bell. Speaking about ending well, what do we get on Wall Street today? And the closing bell is sponsored. Thank you very much. It is brought to you by Right From The Heart. For a wonderful place to put your tax-deductible donations, visit rightfromtheheart.org/donate. And they bounce back, man. A lot of stuff, just like everything else to do with COVID, Carl, with this Omicron, like the latest variation is.
Sure.
Some people are saying it's really bad. Some people are saying it's overblown. Either way, Wall Street bounces back in a big way. Dow rises more than 600 points. Dow Jones up 617. S&P was up 64. NASDAQ up 127. So good day on Wall Street again. Brought to you right from theheart.org/donate. Just a couple of birthdays. Some big ones, though, Carl. He's a very controversial figure this year. Aaron Rodgers turns 38.
I know, man. I was seeing that today as I was scanning some things on social media, and people were talking about Aaron being 38. He ain't slowed down on the field, that's for sure. By the way, does he play as long as Brady? Does he play till he's 44?
I don't think he does that. I think he's got other options. Now, again, I don't know what you think of the guy. No one debates the guy's skills, but boy, would you describe him as a prickly teammate?
Yeah, that's a good yes.
And by the way, you agree this is his last year in Green Bay, come hell or high water?
No, I do. I think he wanted out last year just to the circumstances. They came kind of gave in to some of his needs. and gave him some leeway and signed some of the guys he wanted and all of that, and it worked out. But, yeah, I don't think he's back another year.
I used to always say that Brett Favre was a bigger pain in the butt, but he was just more charismatic, and now Aaron Rodgers takes the cake. He wins that one hands down. Hey, Britney Spears turns 4-0 today, man.
4-0. Yeah, is she out of this this conservatorship? Yeah, whatever. She's out of it, right?
She's got a killer lawyer. I know she won the suit because they said a court-appointed lawyer, and now she's got like a real, like, you know, a crocodile as her attorney. I mean, at some point, she's got to be able to write her own checks, right? I mean, this case is a bit ridiculous.
She's 40, Mike. Come on.
I know she had some bad, you know, she had a little bad spell there, but I mean, dad is just,
I know.
Chris, you're my conduit to the pop culture world. Is that case still going on with Britney Spears?
Hashtag free Britney is the movement, and it's getting a lot of traction, boys. I'll tell you, she's almost there.
All right, man. All right. Free Britney. She still has a knockout. I'll give her that. Hey, Lucy Liu is 53 today. Johnny Versace would be 75 today. Man, South Beach used to be so much fun. You'd see all the celebrities, and that went away. You don't see people on the street like you used to back in the mid-90s. Hey, speaking of Miami, Stephen Bauer is 65, Carl. Do you know who Stephen Bauer is?
Of course, Mike. That's Jack Bauer's brother.
No, that's Manolo, you did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I told him what you told me to say. I said I was in sanitation. I said to say you was in a sanitarium.
Yeah, anyway, Stephen Bauer, who actually is Cuban. That's a stage name. He's 65. Monica Seles is 48. That was a crazy moment. Remember she got stabbed on the tennis court?
Yeah, it was bananas.
It was like something out of a bad movie. It was an obsessed German fan who was like crazy about Steffi Graf. Alan Henderson, former Hawk, is 49. And here's some trivia for you. Thrasher's first captain, Kelly Buckberger, is 55. the former Oiler. And one for me and the old guys, Willie Brown, old man Willie. His birthday, he passed away about 2 years ago, but the famous pickoff target and 75-yard touchdown return, Super Bowl 11, his birthday. There's guy talk.
That footage is, whenever I think about
that. We grew up with that.
Anytime I think about NFL films, I think about that return.
The super slow-mo, him huffing and puffing, and the camera's looking. And you got the radio. Oh, man, Willie.
Yeah, and he's running down the sideline. Yep. It's just, that's a sweet image. All right, man, coming up, you're going to hear from Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan report today. You're also going to get a chance to hear from the voice of the SEC. Brad Nessler's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.